Well, good morning. Today is what is generally known in the Christian calendar as Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what is known as Holy Week. As we move towards Easter and remember all that Christ has done for us, we want to reflect today on that great event of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. But that's a word of prayer first. Lord, we thank you that even 2,000 years later, we can just rejoice in this great celebration that happened in preparation for you going to the cross. And we just thank you, Lord, that even now today we can make you the Lord of our lives, and help us to do that as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. I'm reading two passages of scripture. First of all, out of Luke 19, which is the story of the triumphant entry, and then out of Isaiah 35, and I'm going to focus our attention on Isaiah 35. Luke 19 says this from verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany on the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they had told him. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their coats on the colt, put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their coats on the road. When he came to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And then Isaiah 35, wonderful passage of scripture. "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. They will leap like lame will leap like the deer. The mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty grounds bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And in the highway there will be, it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not journey it, for it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about in it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beasts get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will be the crown on their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah 35 verses 1 to 10. Well, in this passage in Isaiah, in chapter 34, we read about Israel being punished for repeated rebellion against God. However, in this chapter, Isaiah is prophesying that a time would come when God would restore the fortunes of Israel. Well, Israel did return from captivity, yet rebelled against God again, and were at the time of Jesus' coming subjected to foreign rule. They were waiting for the deliverance that Messiah would bring. When Jesus came onto the scene, they thought he would be a political liberator. So when he came to Jerusalem that day riding on a donkey, they were confused, yet welcomed him in the same way they would a conquering hero. There's wonderful parallels between this Isaiah 35 and Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. I've called my message today, When Jesus Comes to Town. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came to town? Well, let's see what happens when Jesus comes to town. Firstly, when Jesus comes to town, joy and gladness will set the stage. Verse 1 says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Verse 10, they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Friends, whether you call it joy and gladness, or gladness and joy, or rejoice and be glad, or rejoice greatly, they are all themes of the kingdom of God, friends. What a great reminder. The crocus that is spoken of in verse 1 was a little yellow flower, and it always appeared at spring. When the crocus appeared, you knew spring was coming. And friends, that's this reminder. When Jesus comes, friends, spring is on its way. A new season is coming. Just listen to in Luke 19, in that passage we read a little earlier on, it says, when they came to the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. Friends, the Bible's full of passages of Scripture to remind us about joy and rejoicing and gladness. Psalm 9 verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. Psalm 31 verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your love. Psalm 96 and verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Psalm 118 verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Matthew 5 verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. That's after the Beatitudes. Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And right at the end of times, friends, in Revelation 19 verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made himself ready. Oh, friends, I'm looking forward to that day. Not only that day, but that day will introduce an ongoing period of great joy and pleasure. And the message will be, Jesus is Lord, will be the cry. So secondly, when Jesus comes to town, nature itself will display God's glory. Listen to what it says, verse 2. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of God. Verse 6. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Verse 7. The burning sand will become like a pool, and thirsty ground bubbling springs. Friends, nature is ready to display God's glory. When it talks about Lebanon, it's talking about the cedars of Lebanon, the famous cedars of Lebanon, reminding us of the beautiful forests that once filled Lebanon. The word Carmel, Carmel, friends, is the place where the battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal took place. I've been there. And Carmel overlooks the Valley of Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. But the Valley of Megiddo, friends, is this incredibly beautiful, fertile part of Israel. Wonderful. The Rose of Sharon. What's the Sharon all about? Well, the Sharon is the area between the Mediterranean and the mountains. It's a fairly flat area. It's an area of great productivity. It's a wonderful area where much of Israel, or much of the people of Israel, live even to this day. Sharon, the Rose of Sharon. When it talks about the waters gushing forth, well, we're reminded of the time, friends, in the desert of Zin, at a place called Kadesh, the people were thirsty. Remember, Moses struck the rock, and out of the rock came water to satisfy the thirst of all the people of Israel. Of course, it resulted in Moses being commanded not to enter into the promised land, and yet it was the place of great provision. Friends, even the burning sand, what's he talking about? Well, the burning sand is a reference to a mirage. A mirage is as you look over a hot area, it looks like there's this shimmering in the way ahead of you, thinking that there's water there. But what it's saying, friends, is the mirage is going to become real. What you think looks like a water is actually water. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the Pharisees told him, "Tell your disciples to keep quiet." Jesus says to them, "Man, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Friends, the reality is nature. Nature's going to display the glory of God when Jesus comes to town, reminding us, friends, that Jesus is Lord over all of the nature. Number three, when Jesus comes to town, the downcast will be filled with hope. Verse 3 says, "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." This is what Jesus did when he began his public ministry. In Luke chapter 4 and verses 17 through 19, it says this, "The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Friends, when Jesus comes to town, you don't need to be sad anymore, friends, because when Jesus comes to town, he comes to bring liberty and life and joy and peace and hope. Friends, Jesus is Lord over emotions. The downcast will be filled with hope. Number four, when Jesus comes to town, physical challenges will be removed. Verse 5 says, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongues shout for joy." Friends, these were all symbols of affliction. Blind, deaf, dumb, or paralyzed. What does Jesus come, friends? Jesus come not only to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but Matthew records exactly what Jesus did after reading that passage. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, it says this, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the gospel and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Friend, when Jesus comes to town, not only are the emotional issues dealt with, but the physical ones are dealt with as well. If Jesus is Lord over emotions, he's also Lord over disease. Number five, when Jesus comes to town, friends, our enemies will be gone. Verse 8 says there'll be a highway there. It's going to be called the Way of Holiness. And it says the unclean will not journey on it. Friend, what a great joy to know Jesus has come to deal with our enemies. When John the Baptist was born, Zechariah, John's father, said this about Jesus. He said, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets a long time ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to his forefather Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of the enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear." Friends, Jesus is Lord over our enemies. He's Lord over all people. Our enemies will be gone once and for all. Number six, when Jesus comes to town, Satan would have left, friends, to the back door even. Verse 9 says, there's no lion there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. What a great relief, friends. Satan will be defeated once and for all. The Bible talks about Satan as a lion. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8 it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Friends, when Jesus comes back to town, Satan will be no more. He will be gone forever and ever. He's trying his best now to overcome people. He's trying his best now to mislead people. But friends, the day is coming when Jesus will be Lord over Satan and all the evil forces in every single way. Number seven, when Jesus comes to town, the redeemed and the ransomed will be with him. Verse 9 says, only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. We often read this passage at funerals. It says this, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Friend, it's the redeemed and the ransomed that walk on the way of holiness as they enter into eternity, reminding us that Jesus is Lord over death. Number eight, when Jesus comes to town, friends, it's going to be one of the noisiest parties ever. Friends, it says they enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Friends, the reality is joy. It's a noisy party. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, friends, it was a noisy party. It wasn't anything that was just simple. In Luke 19, it says, when he came to the place near the road, near it goes down to Mount Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Revelation 5 verse 11 reminds us how loud it's going to be in heaven. It says, when I looked up and saw the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature on earth and under the earth and on the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Friends, it's going to be a noisy party when Jesus comes to town. Number 9 and finally, when Jesus comes to town, the only road there, friends, is called the Way of Holiness. It says, and a highway will be there. It'll be called the Way of Holiness. Friend, the only way you can enter into presence, the presence of God, is if you are holy. Holiness has always been a prerequisite to be in the presence of God. As Moses walked towards the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord said, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. When Isaiah had a vision of the Lord in Isaiah 6, it says this, there were two angels. There were seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were crying out in a loud voice, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lazarus responds, woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, it says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ and called to be holy. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Friend, the only way you can get onto the way of holiness, onto that road, is if you are in Christ. To those sanctified in Christ will be called holy. To those who are blessed with every spiritual blessing, who are chosen in Christ to be holy. Friend, are you with Jesus? Are you on the road with Jesus? Are you going to town? Are you going with him into eternity? Are you on the way of holiness? Friends, Jesus is going to town. I hope you're going with him. Hope you're not going to be left behind. But get into the car with him, friends. Go to town with Jesus. He's inviting you. As he entered into Jerusalem, as he enters into the heavenly Jerusalem, let's go to town with Jesus. Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we'll enter eternity with you. We rejoice in that reality. Amen. Well, Lord bless you on this Palm Sunday.